Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Sahaveyan Karavavahai Tejasvina Vadita Mastama Vidvisha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Did we finish the top of 51?
Yes.
We're on that part of it. Uddhava meets Krishna, who is preparing for his own departure. Uddhava continues to speak. The Lord is the vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. Thus he who desired to destroy his family told me previously to go to Badrikashram. Verse 4. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains why Uddhava was sent to Badrikashram. The reasons for the Lord speaking to Uddhava are given. The first reason is that the Lord wanted to remove the suffering of separation of Uddhava, who was surrendered to the Lord. The second reason is that the Lord will relieve the pain in the form of longing to hear about bhakti, jnana, and vairagya, and the Lord's pastimes of those living in Badrikashrama, who are also surrendered to the Lord, just as the Lord's portion, Narayana. By what he would speak to Uddhava, as expressed at the end of this chapter. Now I shall leave the vision of this world, and I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.30. Yet, in spite of my knowing my desire to destroy the... Oh, that's the end of Vishwanath's point there. Okay. So is that... Here is that Uddhava's feeling separation, so he's taking care of that aspect. But you also have that the sages at Badrikashram, they're also feeling that longing to hear about bhakti, jnana, vairagya, all these... everything connected to the Lord. So... Now what Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, that will then be discussed in Badrikashram. Right? So it takes care of both. Both Uddhava gets that association with the Lord and that knowledge, and then the personalities in Badrikashram, they will get this same association, the same benefit.
Previously, Uddhava didn't want to impart knowledge to Madhura because of this offense. Transgressing the etiquette.
Yes.
But now he's sent to Badrikashram to discuss it with Narayana and other sages who might be much older than him as well. So it wouldn't be considered the same.
He is. See, it's subtle. There's a subtlety that's what is being brought out by Sanatana Goswami. Right? Is that the devotee will see in another devotee the aspects of the Lord's mercy. Right? In other words, if someone can remember the Lord, be absorbed in the Lord, that's only by the Lord's mercy. It can't happen any other way. There's nothing you can do to make it happen. Right? You know, like the discussion yesterday in the temple. Okay. When you chant the holy name, then if it's chanted purely, then you get liberation, right? But now, what does this indicate? I'm the doer. So it's not about the name. It's not about the glories of the name. It's about my position. If I'm chanting purely, then the name has potency. If I'm not chanting purely, the name does not have potency. But the name's independent, and the name is Krishna. So whether you're chanting purely or not, that's why it says the Nama Vas, you'll get liberation. You say, oh, that's not possible, it's like I mentioned, because of our concept that liberation is something great and special. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that we still have some value invested in the material world. We think that there's something special, there's something good, something nice. Well, its only use is that its connection to the Lord. Other than that, then the material world really doesn't have anything to offer, because that's what it's made for. Right? That's the whole... That's what we'll see when Maitreya starts speaking, is that the Lord wanting means, because he is the complete whole, his internal potency is manifest, but his external and his marginal is not. So therefore, then there's the interest to taste that completeness of himself by manifesting those energies. Right? So that means the purpose of the material world is so that the living entities here can resituate themselves back in the internal potency. That's its whole purpose. So then there, that means, technically, there is no value if whatever is being done within the material world doesn't have connection with its purpose. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's say using your blender as a paperweight. You know what I'm saying? That's not its purpose. So anything that's actually in connection with its purpose, that has a value. And if it's just in connection with just anything we like, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like you get out the blender and you're emptying the, what do you call it? You know, the sump in the car. There's, I think, another name for it. I think sumps are for tractors. But whatever. You know, in the car, there's in the engine, there's the oil. And then every now and again, it gets so old and bad that you empty it. So you get out the blender thing, put it under there to catch all the oil. It means you can do so many things with it. You know what I'm saying? You can keep one next to your bed in case burglars come, so then you can hit them with a blender. You know, I mean, there's so many things you could do with it. Does that make sense? You know. So, but the whole idea is that there's the actual purpose to the blender. So the material world, you can do so many things, whatever you like, but its only purpose is to help you go back to Godhead. So if the activity you're doing isn't in connection with the Lord, it won't help you go back to the Godhead, therefore it's useless. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, how do you get out here?
Something about etiquette.
Oh, okay, yes, okay. Yeah, this is all the background, okay? So, then, the point comes up is because this is the Lord's instruction to him, and Maitreya has been instructed to instruct Vidura. Therefore, oh, no, this is not where we were. We were at another point. We were at the subtlety. Okay, let's get back to the subtlety. No, it's about Narad Muni. It's from the Brihad Bhagavatam. Ah, yes. The devotee is seeing the symptoms that are real. Therefore, Narad Muni, according means it's being spoken according to Shastra. Narad Muni, by his knowledge of Shastra, is seeing that quality. Right? So it's real. When Narad Muni is glorifying the Brahman, the southern king, Indra, Brahma, these are real. These are actual devotional principles that are being observed by Narad Muni. And that, but that's looking at, you know, the quality, the results of endeavor. Does that make sense? But the devotee, what he does is he's, you know, naturally looking at it just as the situation. You understand? They shift it because we're wondering how is it this is happening? It's because they're not actually discussing the same thing. One is discussing, you've done devotional service, the Lord being pleased has created these facilities and environments. Right? So the discussion is not about the facility. The discussion is about having pleased the Lord through devotion. Does that make sense? So your Abhideya and Prayojana is what's really being discussed by Narad Muni. Right? Specifically the Prayojana, who's receiving the mercy. So you've performed devotional service, you've gotten this result. Does that make sense? The devotee shifts it into the situation. You say, I'm always with the Lord, but you know, for Indra, then Vamana Dev's off half the time doing something else. And for Brahma, then the Mahapurush is he's accepting offerings, so there's no offerings. He goes to his room with Lakshmi and they hang out there. So he's just taking the situation. You've said I'm always with, but technically I'm not always with. So all they're doing is by, you could say, in a reverse way, showing, no, I don't actually have the mercy. Because if I have the mercy, that means I did the devotional activity. That meant I'm actually a devotee. So all they're doing is taking another aspect of situation, means the results, means whenever there's Aniruddha, it moves back to Prajumna, right? So they're taking that aspect and comparing it to the other aspect to defeat the aspect where it's starting with Sankarshana. That I have the identity that I'm a devotee. So they're basically saying, I'm not actually a devotee. Does that make sense? So they're taking two different perspectives. So it's not... So in other words, others should be looking at it from how Narad presents it, but we should be looking at the benefits we get from devotional service from how those devotees responded to Narada's prayers. I mean, or glorification. Does that make sense? Because it's automatic that if you're pleasing the Lord, then there's no distress. And then according to your ability to engage things in the Lord's service, one will have that facility. You can engage it, you have it. You can't engage it, you don't. Unless there's an example to set, like with Yudhishthira, how you can go from having an empire to having nothing to back to an empire, and he's not disturbed at any time. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, we lose our keys, it's the end of the world. Right? You know, he's lost the whole kingdom with that. Like that. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So these are the different perspectives. So in that, then you have to know which perspective is being taken. Because that's actually what happens when we get up in these higher levels. Like, remember in the Jiva Dharma? And in the last 10 chapters, it was, you know, saying it was academic would have been a euphemism, right? You know, it was like, yeah. You know, like it would be like speaking quantum, you know, in Russian to an American 3-year-old.
That's what it felt like.
Yes. So that would be, you know. So. Yeah. So... But what is happening there? It's not that it's more technical than anything we've dealt with. We've dealt with technicality. So it's not that the technicality is, you know, is beyond our capacity to understand technicality. It's that it's dealing in areas of relationship and the subtleties of relationship, that relationship makes a difference whether it's in that aspect of Shankarshan Prajumna Aniruddha Vasudeva. So the flavor of Madan Mohan is different from Govinda, is different from Gopinath. That's the stuff that we're not used to. Right? Why? Because that's based on the personality of Godhead. And for us, the personality of Godhead, or the supreme personality of Godhead, is just a longer form that you could say God, or the controller, or, you know, the creator, or the maintainer, or, you know, the super soul, the all-pervading, because for us those are all synonymous. But actually they're not. They're all, though they're all indicating the supreme absolute truth, they're indicating different facets of the absolute truth. So this concept of him as the supreme personality of Godhead, that personal aspect, that's the part we're not used to. Therefore these things of all the aspects of the bhavas and how they interact and that, that's the part that's difficult. That's the part we don't quite understand. Does that make sense? So all it is in here is that Narad Muni, you know, it's looking at it, what's mentioned. Okay, we have a pattern here. Narad Muni will come glorify the devotee. The devotee say, oh, no, that's not true. That other person has it. And that's we're looking at it, yes, yeah, so why do we have to go through
yeah,
this?
That's just good.
Yeah, but that is not the perspective at all. The perspective is looking at these different aspects, results of devotional service, the mercy of the Lord, how that affects the devotees. Because if we're saying is that you have the Lord's mercy, like that means that you have facility, you have this and that, then the Brahmin will say, I only have a few followers, I'm making an altar out of mud. The king, the southern king, now he's got followers and he's got opulence. And then he's saying, well, if that's what you're looking at, then I, you know, mine's nothing compared to Indra. And Indra said, mine's nothing compared to Brahma. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I come up to you and say, oh, you know, it seems the Lord's being kind to you, he's giving you all nice facility. What? I'm living in a studio apartment, you know, but my friend here, he has one of these three-bedroom things, you know, like that. And then from there, he'll go, hey, you know, I got three beds, you know, but mine's an apartment. Someone else has a whole house. And says, that's a, you call this a house? And you say, oh, this guy had. Now, that's a house. You know, and then they'll point out to the, what do you call it, the Rothschilds. You know, and then unfortunately, the Rothschilds won't point anyone else out. So you're kind of, you know.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Sorry. Like that. Yeah. Is that make sense? Yeah, so he'll just keep going. So that's the whole thing, is it's just, but the, what to be caught is not this form that is used. The point is that it's all that, because otherwise it's all about, you remember Krishna, never forget, you know? So what's there to discuss? What's there to have a doubt about? That's it, finished, okay? Any other points? Okay, good. We just finished our 12-year course in 20 seconds, because that's all we're going to discuss for 12 years. How to remember Krishna, how to not forget him. Does that make sense? But, so, because we think they're the same, that's why it's...
longer.
Yeah, but it's not the same. We're bringing out different aspects. Is that so because of that, therefore, now we get back to now we can discuss the questions. Okay. With that being understood, then the point is that he's only using that as one of the methods to be able to go to Bhadrik Ashram since Maitreya is there and could speak to Vidura. Right? So one, it follows the etiquette of that, what was it, Maryada? Yatikrama. It follows that. And at the same time, it gets him to Bhadrik Ashram, which is where he was sent by the Lord. But on the other side, then it doesn't matter. If there was no Maitreya, then Uddhava would have spoke to him. Okay. It's just that he has something that he's supposed to do, so he'll do that, seeing that someone else is there that's qualified to then have the discussion. Is that the sense? Yes. Okay. So here then Narnarayan Rishi is who he's going to go be speaking to. Because they want to hear about Krishna, because they're an expansion. They're not Swayam Krishna. So to hear about Swayam Krishna, right? Because one can say is no, but it's all Vishnu Tattva. But the Chatur Shloki, because the discussion was about Chatur Shloki, right? So the point of Chatur Shloki, what is it? He opens aham evas agre. Aham evasam evagre means that aham means him, the personality of Godhead. Because you see in there, it's very clearly pointed out. Means he was there before there was a Mahavishnu.
Yes.
Right? So you had the Lord, then his expansion, then when he desires that, as we mentioned, to be complete. Now manifest is complete, he's already complete. But to manifest is complete is to taste that.
Yes.
Then you have the expansion of Mahavishnu, who therefore then does all the creation, and then down there the line somewhere is Narayan Rishi. Right? So now Narayan Rishi get to hear and talk about the position of Swayam Krishna.
Yes.
So as it's mentioned, right? So the now shall leave the visionless world, and I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me. It's not that, you know, someone else is going to steal it, or, you know, they're going to publish their memoirs and make a lot of money off of it, or, you know, stuff like that. It's a matter of that he's the only one in Dwarka that understands it. You know, he's not going to leave like Rukmini or Satyabhama back to go out and preach around the world. Right? Because they're going to go with him. You know, they're not going to want to stay here. But Uddhava is someone, being his minister, he is someone who acts on behalf, and so he could do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because otherwise, if they were going to do this, they'd do it in a different form. You know, it's like Radharani comes as Gadadhar Pandit. It's not a problem to do it, it's just you have forms that you do it in. Right? So therefore, he's the only one that actually understands the position of the personality of Godhead, because that's what the Chatur Shloki is about, the personality of Godhead, not about Paramatma and Brahman. It's discussing the principles of Brahman and Paramatma, but as features of Bhagavan.
And because it's spoken to someone who is supremely pious, that is understood. Can we say that?
As long as he is supremely pious, meaning you mean by that devotional.
Yes, because we, by our conditioning, we will see Paramatma aspects. And
yes.
It doesn't seem devotional, the Chatur Shloki, when we read it. Is it
true? Yes, because the only thing that Mayavadis technically touch comfortably is the Chatur Shloki, and misinterpret that, because it's written in that, being the essence of the Veda, it has that Upanishadic form. So then they're comfortable with that. They generally leave the rest of the Bhagavatam. They're supposed to leave the Chatur Shloki also, but so because of our conditioning with karma and jnana, therefore there's that aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. So being everything means the whole Bhagavatam comes out of that. So the Mahabharata has already explained all the culture and everything, and explained the connection to the Lord, but not in detail. Right? So then the Chatur Shloki is given to give that exact aspect, and that's expanded into Bhagavatam. Okay, so he's the only one in Dwarka that's seeing the personality of Godhead. Everybody else is seeing Paramatma. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, because, yes. We're not saying that the eternal associates don't see like that, but remember, the demigods come down and are residing within so many of these eternal associates. Right? So those demigod aspects are what are going to pravas. And the other aspect are going to be aprakat, because as soon as you separate them, then that aspect people don't know. Does that make sense? The Lord reveals his pastimes. They don't know the eternal associates. They know the demigods that are associating with the Lord as the yadus. They don't know the eternal associates as the yadus. Right? Because you know somebody according to what you can relate to. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say there's a person, basically you could say he's good. Does everything good, he's nice, all that kind of stuff like that. Then the difficulty comes is that sometimes something went wrong. Right? You know, one incident, let's say, something went wrong. Now, the interesting point of something going wrong is people who generally always behave wrong are always there to see it. Right? When you do something wrong, the person that sees that you did something wrong is generally not a good person, it's a person who's not good. Why? Because they can relate to it. Right? So now, let us take this one person and talk to two different people. A person who also has the values of good and the person who doesn't. So now you talk to the person with the values of good, and you ask them that, you know, he's a nice guy, yeah, but he did this wrong. Yeah, you know, it's not a big deal. It's one incident. His whole life is good, this and that. You understand? He'll see the good. not identify so much with the bad. But now, you talk to the bad person, that is the person. They will say, no, that's what he is. Say all this good, that's just a show. He's actually bad. You understand?
Yes.
So the whole thing is according to your nature is what you see. So if you only have that nature of seeing within creation, maintenance, and destruction, you can only see that aspect. You can only see Paramatma. So the same way the Eternal Associates, because they're seeing Bhagavan, they're only going to see that. But they're not staying. Right? You see Uddhava, he was told to go. So he left. So he wasn't in the group that stayed of the Eternal Associates. He wasn't in the group of the demigods that went to Prabhas. He was in his own category. Then going to Prabhas, because he couldn't stay, because on the way to go to Bhadarik Ashram, why not swing by there and see the Lord? So he goes, and then the Lord instructs him. So he's in his own category here. So take it easy. Okay, so therefore, that's why only he can be trusted with it, because only he actually understands the principle of the personality of Godhead. Right? Because everybody else is going to be talking. Yeah. Guys over there, they won't take the bricks off, move it, and then put the bricks on. They'll try for half an hour, you know, trying to move it with all the bricks on, because in their mind it'll be easier. Yes. Okay. Yet in spite of my knowing his desire to destroy the dynasty, Aravindama, Vidura, I followed him because it was impossible for me to bear separation from the lotus feet of the master. Could you go over there and just tell him, just take a few bricks off, move it, and then put the bricks back on, because they've been there for 10 minutes. You know, so stop being stupid. It'll take him 3 minutes to do it the other way. Maybe five. I said some of the bricks, not all the bricks. Otherwise then they'll argue there for half an hour for that. I followed him because it was impossible for me to bear separation from the lotus feet of the master. Thus following, I saw my patron and master, Lord Sri Krishna, sitting alone and deeply thinking, taking shelter on the bank of the river Saraswati, although he is the shelter of the goddess of fortune. Right? So Saraswati will be one of the energies of the Lord. So he's taking shelter of the Saraswati, though he's the shelter of the goddess of fortune. These are all the things that, you know, he has fun doing.
Is this Ashraya Vishal?
Meaning?
Lover and beloved. I mean, how...
These are bringing out, you'll see constantly through the prayers of the devotees, they're always pointing out that these contradictions aren't contradictions in the Lord. Why bring this out? Because you can only resolve a contradiction by a higher principle. So he being the highest principle, all contradictions are resolved in him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we see it constantly coming up. Anytime there's prayers, there's always this point is mentioned. Either on the platform of as the Supreme, or on the platform of relationship or rasa. But it's just that's the unique position. Right? So in Krishna, that aspect will be the sweetest. Right? You know, he's the Supreme, you know, the Supreme, but at the same time, is he controlled by the gopis? You know, the elder gopis, you know, tell him to dance, he's dancing, or Baba asks him to get the shoes, he's bringing them, you know, all these different kinds of things. So that's the... The Lord's body is blackish, but is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and very, very beautiful. His eyes are always peaceful, and they are reddish like the rising morning sun. Right, peaceful, because there's nothing, there's no anxiety for him. There's nothing that's going to create a problem. There's no loss. There's no competition. There's no, you know, there's nothing to actually get in the way. Everything's happening just as a fulfillment of his desire. But his desire is always in connection with interacting with the devotees. Because if you're just fulfilling your own desire, how long does that take?
Yeah.
Right? Means if you, let's say you had enough money, you could buy anything you wanted on the planet. I mean, in any category, buy your own airplane. You know, buy, you know, hey, the latest double, you know, decker, you know, big airplane. You can get one of those. You know, whatever it is, you could get it. And then what? How long would that take you? You know what I'm saying? In a few years, you could probably get everything you want and go there, and we bought it at source. You know. We went to, you know, Borneo and we bought this and, you know, so it's not that, oh, I went down to the shop mall and bought it. You know, no, we went to source and we bought the shea butter from the aboriginals right there as they were making it, you know, like that. You know, so does that make sense? You know, that, so they do. And then what?
That's why rich people are not happy.
Yes. Now, here is the richest and the longest, you know, eternal. So, therefore, it's about pleasing the devotees, because that gives more pleasure than getting your own stuff, because he already has his own stuff. He's the source of his own stuff. You know, what he wants, he creates it. He doesn't have to, you know, go shopping.
Yeah, he is the source.
You go. Yeah, he is shopping. You know, he doesn't have to go shopping. I could immediately recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his four hands, different symbolic representations, and yellow silk garments. The Lord was sitting, taking rest against a young banyan tree, with his right lotus foot on his left thigh, and although he had left all household comforts, he looked quite cheerful in that position. So even though he wasn't sitting there in all his palace with all his servants and everything, and all facility, he was quite happy sitting under that banyan tree, you know, just at the where the Saraswati comes out on the ocean. 5-8. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's purport to verse 8, the Lord's sitting posture is meaningful. He had his right foot placed over his left thigh. His back was leaning against a young ashvata tree. The derivation of ashvata is nasva tishtati. What does not last till tomorrow. Svas means tomorrow. This refers to the material world made of five elements, which is temporary. Maya stands behind the Lord. May materialistic people not see me. This is the intention of Krishna's action of leaning against the Ashvata tree. The tree is described as young to indicate that among all the universes, this universe is very small. You know, Chakta Pipalam means that the Lord had given up his pastimes in the world, since the word Pipala refers to the material happiness in the Shrutis. For example, two companion birds sit together in the shelter of the same Pipala tree. One of them is relishing the taste of the tree's berries, while the other refrains from eating and instead watches over his friend. Svetasvartara Upanishad 4:6. So the people is also the representative, because it always mentions the banyan tree. So then that's the... Yeah, so then he's sitting there, so Maya's in the back, and this manifestation of Maya is small. Right? Other universes, it's bigger. So because he's finished his pastimes, now it's time to leave. So these subtle... As Prabhupada mentions, that we must always hear from the spiritual master and the previous acharyas, because they reveal things that we would never understand, you know, because, you know, it's, do we know enough Sanskrit to take ashvata and turn it into nasva tishtati, and then no, svas means tomorrow, so nasvas, no tomorrow,
you know, wouldn't come up.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, so that's why there, the perspective that they have, the understanding that they have, because they know the personality of Godhead. Well, we're not used to that, right? And so they keep pointing that out. That's what, it's constantly used, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it means something specific. Okay, verses 9-22. Maitreya Muni arrives, and Krishna instructs Uddhava. In verse 9-22, Uddhava narrates how he received confidential knowledge from the Lord. Uddhava continues, at that time, Maitreya Muni reached that spot out of his own perfect accord. Maitreya Muni was greatly attached to him, the Lord, and was listening in a pleasing attitude, with his shoulder lowered, with a smile and a particular glance upon me. Having allowed me to rest, the Lord spoke as follows. Right, so Maitreya Muni came and showed up, and they didn't, you know, the Lord didn't say, you know, not now, I'm busy, or later, or whatever. So it was a matter of, he sat and listened to the conversation between the Lord and Uddhava. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to verse 9, to meet the Lord is not an ordinary incident. Maitreya was a great sage and a learned scholar philosopher, but not a pure devotee of the Lord. And therefore, his meeting with the Lord at that time may have been due to agyata supriti, or some unknown devotional service. Pure devotees always engage in pure devotional activities, and therefore the meeting with the Lord is natural. But when those who are not up to that standard meet the Lord, is due to the unforeseen fortune of accidental devotional service.
When it says agyata sukriti or some unknown devotional service,
it means like, yes, but how many people know agyata sukriti?
No.
So that's, so things that are common, then Prabhupada will mention it.
Okay, so that's
in one thing. Yeah, and then in the other, then he'll. Understand? But if it's important, then he'll mention the English. Yeah. So here we also see is that because he is great. Now, what are we talking now of pure devotee? Right, that's then the definition, because you have, you know, you could say your beginning stages of pure devotion, then your advanced stages, and then your topmost stage. Right, so within the madhyama position, madhyamadhikari, that's where pure devotion begins. Right, but it won't be on the standard, because there'll generally be the tendency for jnana. Because you see things according to the philosophy. So therefore, this scholar-philosopher.
Yes.
Right? Because you start off with karma yoga, and then you move to jnana yoga. Because the natural thing, you perform karma, knowledge and detachment come. So performing devotional service with knowledge and detachment, that's jnana yoga. Right?
Yes.
Then one comes to the next stage, where one is liberated. But one still doesn't have praying. So that, you would say, is the middle stage of pure devotee. Right? And then when you come to prema, then you would say, okay, now this is, you know, this is standard. And then within that, of course, then we have different grades. So then you have pure devotees of the spiritual world, then you have pure unalloyed devotees of Braj. So, right, if this was Braj Basis, then we'd understand it means pure unalloyed devotion, that he's not that. So he may be a pure devotee, but not a pure unalloyed devotee. But because we're discussing Uddhava here, so then we know is when he says he's not pure devotee, means not on that level of pure devotee, he has to be on a lower level. Right, so it's not pure unalloyed, we're just discussing pure devotional service. Because Uddhava is in Dwarka. Right? Yes, but it's we're comparing in the realm of Uddhava. Does that make sense? So this is not a Braj pastime, because then we would interpret the difference being pure unalloyed devotional service and pure devotional service. But since this is Uddhava, so we're talking Dwarka here, so now we're talking pure devotion is the top. So that means this is not that top level of pure devotion, so it's down farther. So then, is that make sense?
Yes.
So he hasn't come to prema, so then therefore there's this difference. At this point, we're not saying he hasn't come to that point by the instruction of the Lord when he's talking to Vidura, that we'll find out. But here, then we're dealing with the distinction between him and Uddhava.
Yes.
Right? So, to be able to be an associate of the Lord in this situation, since he doesn't have the actual devotional sukriti, this is agyata sukriti, unknown, means the Lord knows. But, you know, we won't know, or someone else won't know. How is it that they're doing that? You know? Is that two people join, you know, one always does everything properly, does the school, does everything. The other one's totally crazy. You know, wild. But then they go to the temple, they meet Prabhupada, right? And then we see the one that's crazy is the one always hanging out with Prabhupada. And the one that always follows everything proper is, you know, downstairs and, you know, taking care of the devotee. Why is that? That's a gyata sukriti. You don't know what's happened before. You know what I'm saying? So crazy can mean he's not qualified enough, or crazy can mean there's nothing here in the material world that interests him, so therefore he's gone crazy. You just don't know, right? So that's the whole point of Vigyata Sukriti. That's why we're not, we have to be careful not to be too quick in judging.
Judging too much on externals.
Yes, judging too much on externals. Yes, but here we're just talking about, you know, if we say he has money, how much does he have? Yeah? So, it's due to agyata sukriti. So he's met the Lord. So
we'll always compare it to ourselves. You know, we usually Prabhupada said that if a person comes by Harinam and doesn't put his ears, he has agyata sukriti.
Yes.
So this is agyata sukriti, and this is agyata sukriti. It's quite different.
Yes. The rickshawwala that was just here giving us trouble, he has money. How does he have a rickshaw unless he has money? Okay. So, does he have money? No. He has money, not money. Right? There's a difference. Yes? No? Okay. Yes. As Srila Prabhupada explains further in purport to verse 10, although both Uddhava and Maitreya are great souls, the Lord's attention was more on Uddhava because he was a spotlessly pure devotee. A jnana bhakta, or one whose devotion is mixed with monistic viewpoint, is not a pure devotee. Although Maitreya was a devotee, his devotion was mixed. That doesn't mean he's a Brahmavadi or a Mayavadi. It means that you're looking at it, okay, how the Lord has pervaded everything and this and that. These are tools, and Krishna is giving these tools. Right? The whole last six chapters of Gita, right, is all about these tools. But the point is still, that's the reason that you're turning to Krishna. You're looking at what it is, you're analyzing it, you know, seeing its lack of value, and then turning to the Lord. So it's not spontaneous. It's not. It's ultimately about the Lord, but it's not directly about the Lord. Because the natural thing is you're not interested in this, because who would be interested in anything else is only the Lord. And the residence of Braj is not even a question of even discussing the other thing, because it's not even, you know, no one is even aware of it.
They don't even care he's the Lord.
Yeah, so you don't hear prayers by Nanda Baba to Krishna, or prayers by Mother Jashoda to Krishna. You hear prayers of Vasudev and Devaki and Arjuna and everybody else, but the Braj Basis, they're not offering prayers. You understand? Because it's not like they're comparing these two and then seeing he's the superior. It's just they're spontaneously attracted to him. That's all. So here we have to be careful, is that when it's monastic, he's not a Mayavadi. It means that he's still functioning on analyzing the aspects of the Lord as Brahman and Paramatma in his appreciation of the Lord as the person. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So we say again that Uddhava is on the level of Prema Bharata?
Yes. Yeah. Although Maitreya was a devotee, his devotion was mixed. The Lord reciprocates with his devotees on the basis of transcendental love. and not on the basis of philosophical knowledge or fruit of activities. Right. So that means he as a person doesn't reciprocate on those levels. Brahman Paramatma, yes. Right? Because you approach him through Brahman or Paramatma, he reciprocates on that platform. You deal on Bhagavan, he reciprocates that right.
Yes.
Right then. But the point is by doing the one, you get the other. So here's a Jnana Misra Bhakta. But now he's getting the darshan of the Lord and hearing these instructions, then we'll see his qualification, you know, develops. In the transcendental loving service of the Lord, there's no place for monistic knowledge or fruit of activities. The gopis in Vrindavan were neither highly learned scholars nor mystic yogis. They had spontaneous love for the Lord, and thus he became their heart and soul. And the gopis also became the heart and soul of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya approved the relationship of the gopis with the Lord as supreme. Herein, the Lord's attitude towards Uddhava was more intimate than with Maitreya Muni. The Lord said, O Vasu, I know from within your mind that you desired in the days of yore, when the Vasus and other demigods responsible for expanding the universal affairs performed activity sacrifices, you particularly desired to achieve my association. This is very difficult to obtain for others, but I award it unto you. 14. Jiva Goswami tells us in Krishna Sandarbha 131, about the existential position of the Lord's associates. Now that we have proven that Maharaj Vasudev and the other confidential associates of Lord Krishna are all the Lord's eternal associates in the spiritual world, someone may protest, saying that there are many places in the Vedic literature where it is described that the Lord's associates were demigods or great devotees in their past lives, and because of their great devotion they became eligible to become the Lord's associates. To this objection I reply that in such cases it should be understood that such great devotees are empowered expansions of particular associates of the Lord. In other words, at the time of the Lord's appearance in this world, some of the Lord's eternal associates may empower certain great devotees to assume their roles in the Lord's pastimes within the material world. Such empowerment is like the empowerment of Prajumna, who is the demigod Cupid, empowered by Vishnu Tattva, Lord Prajumna, the Chaturvyuha. This empowerment happens in two ways. One, incarnate with amshas. Or two, they empower a jiva of this world to perform these activities as Shakti Vesh avatar, as Lord has Satavesha avatars, so do associates. Cupid is an example, right? So the Shakti that is there in the Lord can be empowered in a jiva. The same way the potency of a devotee can be empowered in another jiva.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So both happen. So when you have Shakti Avesh, you have both. One meaning Shakti Avesh, meaning of the Lord, or of the Lord's devotees. An example of one of the Lord's associates who did not descend from the spiritual world to accompany the Lord in his pastimes is Uddhava. This is described by Sri Krishna to Uddhava, where the Lord described Uddhava's previous birth as Vasu. Sri Krishna said, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.11, O Vasu, I know from within your mind what you desired in the days of yore, when the Vasus and other demigods responsible for expanding the universal affairs performed sacrifices. You particularly desired to achieve my association. This is very difficult to attain for others, but I award it unto you. In this verse, Lord Krishna addressed Uddhava as Vaso, in the vocative sense, case, because in his previous birth he was the demigod Vasu. He was a partial expansion of the Lord's associate, Uddhava. Uddhava's previous birth as Vasu should be understood in this way. Devaki and Maharaj Vasudev are described in the same way. Oh, means in this way, means how it was just said, not in he's going to explain. Devaki and Vasudev are described in the same way. Lord Krishna says to Devaki, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.332, "My dear mother, best of the chaste, in your previous birth, in this Swayambhuva millennium, you were known as Prishni and Vasudeva, who was the most pious Prajapati named Sutapa." The Lord here says that Devaki is eternal and became Prishni. He does not say that Prishni became Devaki. Uddhava means Vasu, means in other words that demigod Vasu has been empowered by the eternal associate Uddhava to act in that capacity. You know, just like you see as all these other demigods, the eternal associates, they are empowering these demigods to act in their position. Is that a sense? So that potency that is the eternal associate, that's what has stayed in Dwarka. The demigod aspect is then what went to Kabash. Because it's saying that they came in there, but then that's the whole point. They're empowered to perform that potency. Just like you could say Bhima is, you know, empowered by Vayu to have those qualities, or Arjuna by Indra, like this. Yes. But that's different. Here is you're coming and you're playing that part.
So Srila Prabhupada explains that for a devotee who's prepared to go back to God, that they may take clothing birth again in Krishna's Leela in the material world as a kind of training before they go back to the spiritual world.
This is something different. Okay. Because point is we're, when we go back to Godhead, we're not playing someone else's role. We're being, that's, point is either Swarup City or Vastu City, where it's our own spiritual body in its own natural position. But you'll be in the same pastime. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now continuing on 53. O honest one, your present life is the last and the supermost, because in this term of life you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Your visit to me in this lonely place because of your pure and unflinching devotional service is a great boon to you, O Uddhava. In the lotus millennia and days of yore, at the beginning of creation, I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel, about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam, 11 through 13. Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport to verse 11. Only the pure devotees can know by the mercy of the Lord that the personal association of the Lord is the highest perfection of life. The Lord assured Uddhava that he would fulfill his desire. It appears that when the Lord informed him by his indication to Uddhava, the great sage Maitreya became fully aware of the importance of entering into the association of the Lord. Right. So, except for the, how do you say, only the pure devotees can know by the mercy of the Lord, because as we were discussing before, is the tendency is that the principle of God, the Supreme, those generally, if one has some piety, one accepts. But this aspect of him as a person, that's the unique aspect. Because even you say, no, but okay, God's a person. But then, okay, and then what do you do with that person? Ask him, you know, give me this, give me that, remove this bad situation, remove this big situation. You understand? So it's not technically that you're really dealing with him.
Yes.
Based as a person. Right? Does that make sense? If you always deal with the person just to get something from them, you don't really call it personal, though you're interacting with somebody with a form. You understand?
Yes.
So that's by the Lord's mercy that is appreciated. Right? And so then here is Maitreya, wasn't aware of that before this, because being a scholar, philosopher, then he knew all the scriptures, knew all these subtleties, and that probably as well or better than anyone else. Something like that. So then he, but not because he wasn't aware, he just saw the technicalities of the knowledge, he had the skill in that, the inclination towards that, and therefore was discussing that. Right? That was his focus, that was his interest. And then now, having come in contact with the Lord in the association of Uddhava, because otherwise the Lord would only reciprocate with him on his level of realization. So he would never think that there's something beyond that. But now, because Uddhava's there, the Lord's actually interacting with Uddhava, and Maitreya's allowed to be there on the side to take part, to listen. He's a sadhu, right? There's not. And Vidura is now acting in the capacity of a sadhu, so it's not like they're going to discuss, something that's not fit for a sadhu. Right? Does that make sense? So now he becomes fully aware. He sort of said finally became aware, not fully, finally became aware of the importance of entering into the association of the Lord. Otherwise it was about seeing the Lord, understanding how the Lord was there, and therefore absorbing yourself that way, but not the concept of actually be associating with the Lord and interacting with the Lord based on that personal understanding. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So that fineness is then now what Maitreya has learned. So then we can see from here, therefore now what he's going to speak to Vidura, that will have that aspect of realization in it. Yeah.
Can we say that this whole conversation was more for Maitreya than for Uddhava?
No, it was for Uddhava. But since it's happening, Maitreya, by some Agyata Sukriti, then he is able to take part means in the listening process here. Right? We don't hear that he asked questions or anything, because it wasn't his conversation. So therefore, then it went on very nicely.
Can we also say that because Maitreya was present, still, even though there's this discussion between two sadhus, still they couldn't really speak more intimately if there were only two of them?
Well, you could say as far as maybe their personal interaction, that might be, you'd have to be careful if there's anything outside of what would be. But being a minister, I don't think that would be a problem. But just in case, we could say there is. But here, as they're discussing the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, so then there would technically be nothing. He would say it, means, in other words, he's saying the highest. Now, whether Maitreya is able to realize all that, but he's saying. Right? Like Prabhupada's always talking, always from the personal point of view. How much of that we really appreciate. Krishna's God. Yeah, of course we know. But what does that mean, that when he says he's God, but then he's beyond that? It means he creates everything, maintains everything, destroys everything, and then he's beyond that. So that means these things are there, but then there's more to him than just that. But generally when we think of Krishna as God, that's what we're thinking about. We're not actually thinking about that more, those things he just does by a very small portion of his energy. But the real thing is the interaction between him and his devotees. That taste that's there, that's the real thing for him. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the man has a huge business empire, right? And he does that nicely and all that, but we find that his happiness is then sitting there with his grandchild and just, playing horsey. It probably gives the example of the prime minister. Some big guy has come to see him and they say he has to wait. And this is a big guy. This isn't just a small little officer. This is some highly placed person. And they keep telling him, no, he's still in a meeting. And he's thinking, what meeting is there? He's checked everything. He's not, he can't figure out who he would be meeting on the government level. So in his mind, this was the free time, it was the perfect time to come and see. But they keep telling him, and it's not even meetings go certain, he knows you go in for these business things, they see you for 5-10 minutes, and then you're kicked out, and the next guy comes in. This is going on and on. Who is he talking to? You know, then he barges in, and there's the prime minister, you know, on his hands and knees with his 3-year-old grandson on his back going, go here, go there, you know. And that's more important than running the country. You know, just you have the technical skill and ability to run the country. But where you get your taste is from your personal interaction. So Krishna's the same. It means that's where the origin is that he, being God, he can create everything. And that's just what he's good at. But his real interest is the taste between him and his pure devotees. That rasa, that interaction, that's in a whole different category that we're not necessarily aware of. Right? Okay. Yes? Yes.
So if one interacts with God, Krishna is God, could one say that it's Chandaras or it's not yet?
No, it could be whatever. It means like in Dwarka, they see him as that way, and there's 5 rasas. So it's not a, it's a matter of the volume of majesty. If it's just he's God and it's all majesty, then there's only 2 rasas, right? Shanta and Dasya. But if there's some mix of sweetness, then you get all 5. Right? Does that make sense? If it's only sweetness, then there's no concept that he's God. Does that make sense? So, okay, so Maitreya finally became aware of the importance of entering the association of the Lord. So that's actually what the material world is for, to come to that realization. So therefore it says, finally he's now come to that position. Because otherwise before he hadn't come to that position. Yes?
Can you talk by association? By hearing the Krishna?
Yes. It was only by association. And hearing that, then he could see that there were topics or there were understandings beyond the perspectives he was used to.
Yes.
Right? It's not that his perspectives are a problem or wrong. It's just that there's that and more. That's the whole thing. So that depth that you can go to. You know, it's just like Mother Jashoda is with Krishna. She sees things that the cowherd boys don't see. They see things that the servants don't see. They see things that the Shantabhaktas, and all of them see something that the demons don't see. You know, so there's a hierarchy of just appreciation. Mm-hmm. So,
the cowherd boys also see stuff that Mother Yashoda don't see. When we're dealing with the 3 top, then it's not in the same way a hierarchy, or?
No, it's a hierarchy. Because the friendship element's already included within parental. Right? The parent, you know, it's take care of the child and all that, but it's also as they grow up, then you can just sit and talk with them and that. And so make plans, decide things. That's the friendship level. Right? Like that. Then the parental level is where, you know, there's some problems. So you're taking that senior position, taking care of, you know, health, emotions, situations, you know, like that. Same time as Mother Yashoda also, you know, serves, does things like that. So that's the servitorship. Mm-hmm. And she appreciates how nice Krishna is. So it has the Shanta. So all 4 are there. But as you go up, each one, each rasa has all the elements of the last one. But it's in a format that matches,
yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like that, then it's yeah, just like the delicateness, the aspect of friendship in parental ras, you know, means when it's friendships just between the friends, then it's completely, that's all, that's what it is. So then they talk, they this, say anything they want, and that, because it matches that relationship. They don't have to be careful. Parental ras, that element of friendship, you just have to be a little bit careful. But otherwise, if the mood is there, then you can relax. It's a matter of whether you can function in that capacity or not. You know? You know, like the kid says, you know, I'm going to go out, you know, visit my... Why aren't you staying here? I want to go out and visit my friends. Well, I'm also your friend. That's the wrong time to bring that up. You know? You know, it's a matter of your... These are the options we could do. You know, let's say we could think about vacation this year. You know, what do you think? You know, You know, and then they'll say this and that. And, you know, okay, well, why do you think this and why that? And we were thinking like this and, you know, and these are the... You know, so that's the friendship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a little more delicate, but not much. But then the conjugal, it also has that friendship aspect. But it's more delicate because it's within the context of the conjugal. So then you have to be careful of what's said and who says what. And you understand? So each one has. Lord Krishna's mentioning that he had previously spoken Srimad Bhagavatam to Lord Brahma prompted Uddhava, whose only desire was to serve the Lord's lotus feet, to inquire about the Lord's inconceivable pastimes and the same transcendental knowledge that the Lord had previously revealed to Brahma, Chaturshloki. Uddhava says, O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. But as far as I'm concerned, I have engaged in your loving service without any such aspirations. Right? So the point is these things that the devotee has, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, these are just symptoms, as you were saying, of the Lord's mercy. But that's because... So that's going to be to the degree that one's not interested in them. Right? The more one's interested in them, so it's either karma or misra bhakti, then the Lord is reciprocating according to one's bhakti. But it will always be less than if it's without that. You understand? So, that you're only interested in interacting with the Lord as a person, these things don't come up. If you're dealing with Him as God, then these things come up. Otherwise, what's the meaning? You're approaching God. It's got to be about Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Yes. So then there's that element of being mixed. But then when it's pure, it's not about that. It's about the person. So then it's no longer God as Paramatma or Bhagavan. It's just the person then in majesty. Then you get Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? Or it's just the person without the majesty, that's Praj. Does that make sense? So there's a difference between they see Him as God, but it's the person, but it's not about what you can gain from Him. It's just the majesty is there. But the other is the majesty is there from that, and there's also the material desires, the material needs, what we can get. But they may be, you know, does that make sense? So the idea is that since we're talking about pure, that means there's nothing mixed there. So eventually that means even if it's less, that's good. But it's not as good as if there's nothing. Right? So that's why then if there's some reduction in the material interest and more of an interest in that personal relationship with the Lord, that's good. So we just keep up that process and it will get less and less and less. But it should be understood that not having any of that, that's what you're trying to get to. That's the goal. Yes.
This goal can be achieved only through devotion, otherwise...
Yes, it can only be achieved through devotion and only in the association of those who have that devotion. So that's, therefore, the importance of parampara.
So no separate endeavor.
No, there's no separate endeavor. See, that's the thing is we'll take it that if we say no separate endeavor, then the natural interpretation is that you don't have to do anything. What it means is that, let's say I am cooking for Krishna. Is there a separate endeavor to make the potatoes boil? Do I have to sit there and boil, boil? You know? like that. No, they're a little soft. Yeah. No, I've been a little distracted. I couldn't get them to boil so much. But thinking about the mortgage, you know. So does that make sense? So it's no separate endeavor that it's there. Or is there a separate endeavor to get something to eat? I cook for Krishna and then I have to find something to eat. Huh? No. Okay. So all that's what it means is that you're performing your duties. There's no separate endeavor. Because if you perform your duties as recommended by in Shastra, that covers all the things that cover everything you need. Because that's looked at as, okay, I'm performing my devotional activities, then I have to do all the things that maintain myself. But that's what the varna part is of varna nashram. So in other words, we're doing the sadhana aspect of ashram and saying only that's my devotional service. Then the family part of ashram and my economics part of varna, those are, being real, it's me, real life, being practical and all that kind of stuff. Right? But varna ashram includes all of that. But then that means we have to go to Shastra for what I should be doing. And much of the time why we don't want to approach is because I want to do everything. I don't want to be limited. And I want to pick and choose. So I'm doing it today because I want to. But then if tomorrow I don't want to, I don't have to do it. Well, if it's my duty, it's either I should be doing it or I shouldn't be doing it. And if I should be doing it every day. If I shouldn't, there's no day I'm doing it. So I want to be able to pick and choose and, just speculate and do what I please. So that's why we are careful about these other parts. It's whatever I feel, that's how I should deal with my family, not what's the reality of what is the proper way of dealing. Or economics, how I should do that. Whatever can make me money. Therefore you have businessmen running schools. Right? They see an opportunity. Right? Now, everybody's really into economics, fashion, things, these kind of things. External paraphernalia. So then if I get into any of these areas, I'll make money. Right? Now what would be best is run an educational institution and then on campus have, fashion and paraphernalia shops, electronics and everything like that. Then, you're going to do good.
Form can change
There's something. It's just a matter of business. It's not a matter of what they should be doing, because in a commodities that everybody requires, you're not supposed to do business with. Right? So education and law. What do you call it? Education, law. Medicine, these, philosophy, religion, they're not supposed to make money off of. Right? Money's there, but it's a side thing. You're practicing religion, you're practicing education, these things come. But it's not that it's run for money. Is that what I'm saying? So that's why other areas that people require, then those you do, and then you do proper. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, how much can I charge for a potato? If I say 200 rupees a kilo, you'll buy something else. Right? But if I say, okay, this medicine for, curing this disease, and I say 200 rupees, when it should only be 10 rupees, you'll pay. That's why they're not supposed to do business. Because you can say it's business is according to, what is that?
Supply
and demand. But the point is those pills, you can crank them out, that they'll be, 10 cents a pill. But they're selling them for hundreds. Why? It's not supply and demand. They can supply any, it's a matter of just how much you can get for it. So it's not a real market. That's why they're not supposed to go into these areas. They produce artificial markets. So the whole idea is that here is that working within the realm of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha is that we're approaching the Lord for these things, but the actuality is that ultimately we see is no, it's about approaching the Lord to just please Him, and because He functions in an environment that includes these automatically come. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just like, let's say the child, you know, behaves, does everything nicely. You know, they live in the house of the parent. Do they have a bed? Do they have food? Do they have to separately ask, hey, do we get dinner tonight? You know what I'm saying? That the husband may ask that, but the child never has to ask that, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, when you're worshiping the Lord, you don't have to worry about dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, because those are automatically taken care of.
Why do we worry?
Why do we worry? I see. Why do we worry? Because we think that there's some value in it. That's where the real value lies. Right? It's more about the house than what you do in the house. You know? Does that make sense? So, in other words, let's say it's a festival, you dress nicely. Why do we dress nicely? Why should we dress up nicely on a festival day? Yes. But the reality is if you, you know, finally decide, okay, now's the time to wear this sari, you know? Like that, and you put it on, and everything matchy-matchy, and everything perfect, like that. You go to the temple, you're there, you pray, you do everything, you give the kirtan, everything went nice, you got a good seat and that, but if nobody noticed, would you be satisfied? On the dressing up part, I'm not talking about it wasn't a great kirtan and stuff. No, you wouldn't be. So next time you'd think, why do I have to wear this for these people? Right? You understand? So therefore, we're dressing up means ultimate thing is you're dressing up because it pleases Krishna. But in the meantime, we're dressing up because we think dressing has a value on its own. You understand? So as time goes, it gets less and less. With realization. You know, I mean, I think one devotee was telling me a long time ago, it's his mother, you know, high class rich family, Bombay, you know, father's died, she was wearing all white, but you know, it's a super fine high class white cloth. And she doesn't wear any of the ornaments, just the basic, just some studs in her ears. But, you know, they're 5-carat diamonds. You know, that's all. But, you know, that's it. She doesn't wear anything else. You know. And that was in the 80s, he was telling me. Right? So, that was it. So, it's a matter of realization. So it's not that, it doesn't matter, so then I look like a slob, because the point is you're dressing for Krishna. But you drop the social element, but maintain it's for Krishna. You know, it's just, does that make sense? It's not like when I I'm cooking really nice first class cooking, the ingredients, you know, the volumes, everything is right. You know, and then I figure out, hey, you know, I'm doing this because I want to eat all these things, right? And so then is the next natural step. So since I'm cooking this nice for me, not for Krishna, then I should drop the standard of my cooking. You understand? Because there in the cooking part, somehow or another, we've heard it enough. And it's something that most people are quite detached from. Cooking really has nothing to do with anybody's interest. So therefore, we can look at it from a very detached and philosophical viewpoint. Right? You know, does that make sense? So when I use the detached, I use the cooking. When I use the attached, I use the sars. Yeah, it works, right? Yeah, okay. So then you're going to... So you would say, no, the real thing is keep cooking that way, but now just do it for Krishna. But you find they'll dress, they'll do everything, they follow all the etiquettes because of what they're going to get, and when they figure out that I'm doing this for myself, they stop doing it. But no, it's supposed to be for Krishna. So that part of stopping doing it, that means they've given up the karma view, but they've taken up the gyan view.
Yes.
So they progressed. It is a progression. You could say, you can't say there's no progression or no realization. But they've gone from karma yoga to jnana yoga in that aspect.
So cooking is jnana and saris are karma.
That's another thing. No, saris are all encompassing. That's it. They have a broader range than you have realization. You should, how you say? As Sukhasuta Goswami says, as birds of various abilities fly at different heights, then, you know, so... You know,
I'm barely getting off the ground.
Yeah, so here, don't go there. Yeah. Okay. Stick to the Hollywood.
Do we know this?
Yes. Okay. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay. No, okay. Says here, oh my Lord, though devotees who engage in transcendent loving service to your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, because they're simply going to look at those things that, oh, here's a nice way I could serve the Lord. And they have the element of Dharma, Artha, Kama, or Moksha in it. But because it's for the Lord, they have no trouble achieving that. It's when we want the Dharma, Artha, Kama, or Moksha for ourselves, there's the difficulty. Right? Does that make sense? That's why Narad Muni is accepting the principle that this Brahman or this king or Indra, Brahma, then they have a great volume, each one greater than the last in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, because of their devotion. So he's looking at it from that side. Right? So that's why he approaches and said, you are the one who has the greatest mercy of the Lord.
Yes.
Right? But as far as I'm concerned, I've engaged in your loving service without any such aspirations. He doesn't have the aspirations. So, but it didn't mean he didn't have these. But there are those, if it's mixed, they have these aspirations in service of the Lord. Right? They're serving the Lord and these things are there at the same time. Right? We're not, means the lowest level is they're worshiping the Lord only for these. As soon as they get them, they'll stop. So we're not even counting really that as a methodology. We're talking about those who are worshiping the Lord sincerely, but at the same time, they're still, by conditioning, having attachment for these four areas. Or, you know, whatever it is in any one of those areas. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so slowly, slowly they come. The first one you always try to get rid of is this artha, kama.
Yes.
Control the senses. But then there's, you know, still trying to take over the world, right? And then, you know, there's no need, you know, however much comes by my honest endeavor, that's good enough, right? Then there's dharma, you know, that, you know, I'm doing my duty and then the piety will come from that. So it's not about piety. And then moksha, that getting out of the material world, it's not about getting out of the material world. It's about serving Krishna wherever you are. If you're always worried about getting out of here, what's the underlying principle? Yourself, but then it's always going to be getting out of here. So if you get to the spiritual world, then there'll still be that habit of getting out of here.
Or the motivation.
You know, so you have to go out into the forest and, you know, when you get out there, then, you know, spin around a few times, sing a song and, you know, have the camera fly by in an airplane and, you know, all that whole kind of thing. But, you know, you won't be satisfied, just sit there in Vrindavan.
Could we also say that the motivation might drop if you get what you want, like someone comes to...
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. That was the first one that I mentioned.
Mm.
That's the one that we're not discussing.
Mm.
Right? But here we're talking about the second is that they sincerely want to please Krishna, but they also have these material desires. Right? So, but Uddhava is saying that he's on the high level above that, where he is worshipping the Lord with none of these desires. But it doesn't mean that this stuff doesn't come anyway. It's not difficult to achieve. But now that not difficult to achieve, are they making an endeavor to achieve it? Or it's kind of like an interest, or there's no interest.
Yes.
That's the thing that comes up.
Yes.
You know? Because we're not used to, because of karma or gyan, I want it, I work. I don't want it, gyan, I don't work. Yeah. This idea is I don't want it, I work. That doesn't compute. Yeah. I don't want a house. Why am I working? Right? I want a house. I work. You know, so it just doesn't compute that you're going to work and not want anything. Right? We can say the selfless, but then, you know, people are saying, yeah, well, I'm already doing that selfless. You know, I'm doing this for my family. Yeah, you're doing it for your family. You're not doing it for your neighbors. You know? You know, saying so that's the whole thing, is that it's Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are just part of human life. But human life is about serving the Lord. It's not about fulfilling these needs. Those come automatically if you perform your duty. Right? Yes. Just like if it's a duty of a grihastha to have an economic, how you say, an endeavor.
Enterprise.
Some way they should have an occupation. That should be. Right? If you follow your occupation, you get money. So therefore, by performing my dharma of having an occupation because I'm a grihastha, therefore automatically you have artha. And then from that artha, there's going to be kama. Right? And enough kama, then you think, you know, hey, you know, moksha. So it's just automatic. So therefore, if dharma is performed, all the others are there. But the highest dharma is only serving Krishna. Right? Therefore, but the form of it will still look like the dharma that's here, because that's what you're supposed to do. But you're doing it only because it pleases Krishna. So that's what Uddhava is saying. He's doing all of his duties in Dwarka and everything like that were to please the Lord, not because he's the prime minister and this is what he's supposed to do. He's trying to please the Lord. He's pleasing the Lord as the prime minister. Therefore, he's doing all the duties of the prime minister to please the Lord. So nothing's lacking. Right? Because it's about someone else. If you're doing it for yourself, you may very enthusiastically do everything, but you also might drop a few things because those aspects you're not so interested. But if it's duty, you're doing it for someone else, then you'll do everything. So actually the devotee who is selfless and just trying to please the Lord does his duties by, we would look at it externally from the material platform, better than the materialist. Like that. So that's the subtlety.
So that's lack of faith when your motivation drops, when you transfer it to Krishna and then your motivation drops.
Yes, because then you think that the material is yours to either have or give up. But that's the whole point. If I walk into somebody's house and take something, and then later on I say, I renounce this. It was never ours to renounce. You know? I walk in with my friend into his house, we walk into his refurbished living room, and I say, yes, I renounce all this. You can have this. Live peacefully, live happily. You know, they're all just going to turn and go, who's this guy? You know, it's not his to renounce. You know, what has it got to do with him? Or you think, great, we'll give him the bills. Right? You're renounced, but it doesn't mean you don't pay the bills. You know, if it's yours, then hey, you know. Okay. So. Okay. But as far as I am concerned, means as far as he's concerned, doesn't mean that he doesn't have some material contamination, technically. But as far as he's concerned, in his consciousness, he's doing his best to avoid that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in his consciousness, it's fully engaged. My Lord, even the learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that your greatness engages in fruit of work, although you are free from all desires, that you take birth although you are unborn, that you flee out of fear of the enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time, and that you enjoy householder life surrounded by many women, although you enjoy in yourself. So all these contradictions. So he's saying he has, why would, because it comes up. You see, when you're doing pastimes and that, then there's always, why did Krishna do this?
Yes.
You know? Like that. I think we just had it last week or something. There was something, why did Krishna, kill this person? Or, or why didn't he do it this way? It's so much more efficient. Like that. So these contradictions then are resolved because he's the perfect person. He has no need. He's doing it simply out of devotion. That's what they will. Means he's enjoying in the self. He's self-satisfied. So he's the source of all these beautiful women. Why does he need to be surrounded by women? He's already satisfied in the self. It's because those beautiful women want to serve him in that way. Right, as beautiful women, so he's reciprocating that, but he's the source of that. Right? That's shown by that pastime with Indra and Urvasi. Right, whatever Gandharvas and all that are there in the courts that are considered the most beautiful, like that. Then when Indra that sends the apsaras to Narayan Rishi, right, to try to distract them, and it's not working. Indra comes to see, how's it going? And then when Urvasi is doing a thing, then he just hits his thigh, and these unlimited girls come out of his thigh that make the top most beautiful girls in the universe, means accepted, acknowledged, right? Feel ashamed that these girls are so much more beautiful. Why would I try to use my charms to, catch this person? Right? And so he's watching, everybody's watching, and they're saying, wow. And then they all start to go back into the Lord, and they go, wow. And then it's, wait a minute here, hey, I want one of those, So Urvasi she was the last one, and just stepping into the Lord's thigh. And then he said, wait, so then, the Lord gave Urvasi. That's why she's called Ur, means thigh. Urvasi, the one who resides in the thigh. Yeah, so from that we understand he can create beauties that no one's ever seen. So for him, it's not that, because he is the source of that. So for him, it's about interacting with the devotees based on devotion. That's what attracts him. Because how do you attract someone with everything with something?
You come up short.
Yeah, you're always going to come up short. What do you get the guy, with everything? That's always the question.
Yeah.
What do you buy for the man with everything?
It's always a stupid answer. It's like UFO or something.
Yeah, he doesn't have a mud pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Although your knowledge is unlimited, and thus you are sufficiently able to consult yourself alone, you still called upon me for consultation as if bewildered. Because it's just about interaction.
Yes.
Means Uddhava, he studied with Brihaspati. Brihaspati is, then training comes from the others, who comes back to Brahma, who goes back to Krishna. And so Krishna is asking Uddhava, which is, quite down the line, how should we do this? So it's about just the interaction. So it's like the Ganges water being offered back into the Ganges. That's it. This act of yours now bewilders me. Footnote 15. Srila Prabhupada 3.4, 16-17 purport states, there's no difference between the personality of Godhead and the impersonal Brahman. How then can the Lord have so many things to do, whereas the impersonal Brahman is stated to have nothing to do, either materially or spiritually? Right? Since the Lord is, the three features are non-different. So being Brahman, which has nothing to do, right? Because Brahman doesn't transform. So then there's nothing to do. So then, why is it he has so much to do? Right? Yeah. If the Lord is ever unborn, how then is he born as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki? He is fearful even to Kala, the supreme fear, and yet the Lord is afraid of fighting Jarasandha and takes shelter in a fort, right? Because he left that for Bhima to kill. He could have killed Jarasandha, but the point is he killed his army. Jarasandha means you kill Jarasandha, no more army. You leave Jarasandha, he came with one Akshahini. You kill his whole Akshahini. He's grumpy. He goes back. It's another one, comes back again. So every year he comes back and brings an Akshahini, you know. I don't know if it was for anybody's birthday or anything, but, you know, he comes every year. So that's 18 Akshahinis. That's how many were killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Right? So just by leaving him alive. And then he leaves the glory to Bhima. Because here, he's the strongest 10,000 elephants. So, you know, he might as well have some fun with this. Right? Just like Duryodhana is the strongest 10,000 elements. Who kills them? This time I can't say elephants. Right? Right? 10,000 elephants. Right? I say elements. Right? Okay. Who kills them? Duryodhana. Bhima. Right? So that Kichika is the strongest 10,000 elephants. Who kills them? Bhima. Right? You know, so then there's, you know, that's part of the fun. The devotee is qualified in that way, therefore he does those things.
He's a specialist.
Huh? He's a specialist, yes. Yeah, only 9,000 years. Okay. How can one who is full in himself take pleasure in the association of many women? How can he take wives just like a householder take pleasure in the association of family members? Oh, family members, children, relatives, and parents. All these apparent contradictory happenings bewilder even the greatest learned scholars, who, thus bewildered, cannot understand whether inactivity is a fact or whether his activities are only imitations. So they can't catch what's going on here. The solution is that the Lord has nothing to do with anything mundane. All his activities are transcendental. This cannot be understood by the mundane speculators. For the mundane speculators, there's certainly a kind of bewilderment. But for the transcendental devotees, there is nothing astonishing in this. The Brahman conception of the absolute truth is certainly the negation of all mundane activities. But the Paramatma Parabrahman conception is full with transcendental activities, right? So there's Brahman, but there's Parabrahman. So when we're discussing the aspect of Brahman, we're doing that in relationship to the concept of Parabrahman. So we understand the principles of how Brahman works, how it's functioning in the material world, but we know it's Parabrahman, is that's the person who's actually expanding and doing all this. One who knows the distinctions between the conception of Brahman and the conception of the Supreme Brahman is certainly the real transcendentalist. 16 purport. Right, so that's what one is trying to catch, is that there's a difference. So that's how we can so comfortably discuss the Brahman aspects, but they're in connection to the person.
Yes.
Yeah? My Lord, kindly explain, if you think that we are competent to receive it, the knowledge that gives enlightenment about yourself.
It continues, the footnote continues.
It does. Oh, it does. Yes, it does. Uddhava was never actually bewildered, but he says that all these contradictions appear to be bewildering. The whole discussion between Krishna and Uddhava is meant for the benefit of Maitreya, who was sitting nearby. That's your point. But it was not focused on him. It was focused, but it was, in other words, it's for his benefit, but it'll be his benefit because it is a full natural discussion between the Lord and Uddhava on their platform. Because then he'll realize there's a higher platform, and then he will then, by the Lord's grace, elevate to that platform. Because otherwise, he'll just stay on his platform because that's all he knows. He's a sage. He associates with sages, and they only talk the same thing. They're all mixed with yang. So he doesn't realize that there's beyond that. Is that something? Yeah. Yeah, they appear to be, but that brings out the Chaturshloki, because that's the third verse. Right? The third verse of the Chaturshloki is that he is these things, but he's different. So that's where your introduction of that contradiction aspect is taken care of. Right? And how you're supposed to be able to see the Lord at all times, all places, all circumstances. Okay. Yeah, I think we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitāya Gaura Prema ki.